Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today, my guest is Asha Prover. She has been on the show before. We've had some wonderful, heartwarming talks with Asha, as we found that really there's a lot going on in the world these days and a lot of questions that are coming up about our core beliefs, our values, our morals, about God, about miracles, and how am I really getting through life, and really, why is this happening to me? You know, a lot of us are saying, what is going on? You know, I thought I had these things straightened out a long time ago in my life, and you know, everything was great. And these things seem to rear their heads, and they're like, you know, you almost feel like it's a 2x4 to the side of the head. In fact, the other day I had a psychic gun, and she says, well, this is this and this, you know, and it feels like this. And I said, oh, that's the dent in my head, you know. And we had a little laugh about it, but you know, hey, I still got a headache, and this is 3 days later. But anyway, and we always think, you know, what's really going on and how can I look at it differently? And maybe isn't it always that we always will be having this same process? Maybe things that we will take care of today, 2 months, 2 years from now, we might have to look at them again. We may have to revisit them. Because what's really important to notice is that life is changing rapidly. Our minds, our bodies, our spiritual sense, our inner energy and our inner being is all shifting. We are having all kinds of things going on. So the world around us is just taking on a different look almost all the time. And if we can just learn to flow with it, maybe we won't have so much resistance and headaches like mine. But maybe, you know, sometimes when we're flowing with it, we need to recognize that it is different and say all is going to be well. So my guest today is Asha Prover. She is a minister, counselor, and celebrated lecturer on spiritual subjects. Today we'll be touching a little bit on her books, Loved and Protected, Stories of Miracles and Answered Prayers, and also, Ask Asha, Heartfelt Answers, Everyday Dilemmas on the Spiritual Path. Asha, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm delighted to be talking to you again, Jeanette.
So, yes, feel like that 2x4 just, and I didn't put 2 and 2 together. I had that conversation with her 3 days ago, and I just got done saying, do you have a 3-day headache?
Oh, uh-huh.
I laugh about it, you know. It's like that 2x4 just took me out. Oh, well, whatever. So we're going to have to meditate on that later and put that 2x4 away. So. So have you found, too, Asha, that the world is really changing? And sometimes things we thought maybe we had put away and we have taken care of and we are firm in our beliefs about are now rearing their heads again.
Well, I think that people imagine that progress is linear. We sort of see it like a straight line, like we're here on the left and we just walk, you know, forward to the right, like the information thing filling in on your computer or something. But I think, in fact, our personal growth is a spiral staircase. And if you think of it in terms of the chakras and the spiritual energy that runs up and down the spine, if you imagine that the spiral staircase is ascending around the pillar of the inner energy, and the way I think about it is the stripes, so to speak, that represent our karma, we think of them as being horizontal on that pole, so that we imagine as we go up the stairs, we leave certain karmas behind. But in fact, the stripes are vertical. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the vertical stripes widely vary in their width. I mean, one stripe, it'll be wide for a time, and then it'll get very narrow, and then it'll get wide again. So if you imagine yourself going up a spiral staircase surrounding a pole that has vertical stripes, in which each stripe varies in its width as it ascends or descends, then you realize that you sort of pass a bit of karma for a while, and then it seems to be over, because at that level, it is over. Mm. But then you'll circle around to a higher level, and maybe the next time it comes, it's just a hair, it's just hair thin. Boop, it goes right by. But when you see it again, it's widened out. But every time we're passing it, on a more refined plane, on a deeper level of learning, perhaps an aspect of it that wasn't revealed the first time. And eventually, all karma ceases, everything, all the colors dissolve into white light. But it's a more gradual and a longer process than most people realize. For this reason, I find it helpful, whereas you do want to claim your victories, you do want to say, I have learned something. It's nice to keep a little humility and say, you know, I've learned everything I could learn, and leave space to not be shocked when you discover that there's more to learn, even on something that you've already gone very deeply into.
You know, we've had a lot of speakers on our show before, and they were like, if you don't take care of this now, it's going to bite you later. And they're like, you have to close it. You have to shut the door, like a karma. You have to close it. You have to shut the door. You have to nail it closed. You have to be done with it, and then it just disappears. And does karma really just disappear? Or is, like, what is karma? A lot of people are saying, well, you know, I sometimes think of that as something I did bad, and I'm going to keep doing it, and until I learn that, I should be nice and I shouldn't do that. That's a simplistic way some people think of it. But so how could your life be a little bit more peaceful or at ease or moving through and learning more things and seeing these lines dissipate? That makes sense?
It makes perfect sense. Part of it is, I mean, I'm going to paint a slightly larger picture here. If you think, if we think about whatever we would call progress in life, progress in life can be defined, and we may have discussed this earlier, as an ever-increasing awareness of dimensions of yourself, of others, of reality itself, that we have an ever-increasing, subtle, and expansive understanding, awareness of what's going on in the world. I mean, in the world, I don't mean in social events, but I mean what's going on in creation. Who am I? Where does my happiness come from? What actually causes me suffering? And what is the end point of this whole experience we call life? Is there an end point? And if so, what would it be? The teaching of self-realization of Paramahansa Yogananda, Swami Kriyananda, that I have devoted myself to, says essentially, as Yogananda put it, that our evolution goes on until we become infinite. Now, what keeps us from experiencing that infinity is that there are things that we don't yet understand. And we could call that, very simply, unlearned lessons about who I am, how I relate to this world, what causes me happiness, and what causes me suffering. There are lessons about those truths that I haven't yet learned. And that's what karma is. And so karma keeps us engaged in the process of learning. And yes, eventually, all lessons can be learned. And then all karma stops.
So a lot of people say, you know, let's use the example of you have three husbands and they say, oh, well, it must be you that has the issue, not the husbands, because you always leave them. And then I look on the other side of it and I say, well, no, potentially what she did was she learned something from each one because each one was totally different than the other. And she's learned about herself and moved on. It's just that they didn't, and that's where that story ended.
I think that that's as likely an explanation as any other. It's also, it may also well be that instead of learning, the person is merely going in a circle.
Right.
You know, the bigger the circle, the greater the imaginary sense of accomplishment, but it could still be a circle. That question can be answered truthfully only by looking at the actual experience and the actual results.
Mm-hmm.
A great tumultuous life, many changes, many shifts, can either be, just as I say, spinning, or else it can be very rapid learning. It's your experience, not what it looks like from the outside, is the only thing that really counts.
Right. There's been many times where I've noticed in the past where somebody would say something to me and I'd be like, already got it, already done, already processed in my head. And if you asked me what it was about, I couldn't even go back to it. It was that much that it had already incorporated. And I have, you know, spaces of time of that. And I think a lot of listeners have said, yeah, I have that sense too. But then there's times when you will speak to some people and they will keep going over and it feels like you've had that conversation with them before. It's almost you could almost be listening to their conversation and say, I know what the next word's going to be, and it ends up being that. It's sort of like it's already been played in your head. So, in other words, they may be, yes, in that spinning, that spinning circle, because you've already been there and they keep repeating themselves in that.
Right. We do progress. We do learn. And we, on whatever level we're at, we may really have learned the lesson on that level.
Yeah.
What I was saying earlier is that we always have to allow for the fact that there are more subtle levels that we haven't yet come to. And also, the lesson, even of the same circumstance, can be different depending where you are standing and which way is forward for you. There's an example that my teacher, Swami Kriyananda, used to always use. If Mahatma Gandhi, at the height of his fame, you know, working to free India, decided, wow, with all this notoriety, if I open a law practice now, I could become really, really successful and rich. If he stopped his effort to free India and went and opened a law practice, everyone would say he'd gone backwards. But if some lazy relative of yours who's never done an honest day's work in his life gets it into his head to go to law school and become a rich lawyer, for him, that would be forward.
Correct.
So it just depends on where you're standing. Mm. What is expansive for you? And when you finally understand what's expansive for you on that level, then you've learned that lesson. But then it may come back on a more subtle level. For example, maybe you've learned to control your words, but you haven't yet learned to control your thoughts.
Hmm.
And maybe you'll be able to, you can behave properly, but within yourself you're still not responding properly. So you get to learn the same lesson on a more subtle level the next time around.
Yeah, I think we always see that. A lot of times people, you'll say to them, you shouldn't say that. That's not right to say that. Finally, the person starts to change and they don't say that. And you think, oh, they've really learned something. Except, let's say they say something and then they close the door to their car and then they're mumbling the words that they were saying in the first place. It's sort of like, I guess you certainly didn't learn that thing, you know, and it's like, it's, you know, and that, it will always show or surface if you really haven't, I think.
Exactly. And, but it's levels. To learn to behave is the first step. To learn to behave with goodness is a good step.
Mm-hmm.
To actually learn to be goodness is a higher step.
Right.
And that's the spiral staircase. We keep circling around it. We meet essentially the same lesson, seemingly, but then when we look at it, it's coming to us more subtly until we really are finished with it, which we can be, because we have mastered many things, and we will master many more.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people like to have a checklist, the OCD in us, you know. We can line them all up. I've done this so many times. Line up the list, you know, check it all off. When it's done, we'll have another list. And it's like, I just quit making lists, you know. It doesn't make any sense. So it's sort of what are we going to do today?
It's nice to claim your victories. It gives you confidence that when the next challenge comes, if you I was just listening to a Swami Kriyananda speaking on something this morning in a recording, and he was saying how much we tend to focus when we have a failing, when a failing is revealed or a weakness is revealed, how much we tend to grab onto that and focus on that and define ourselves by it. And he put it this way: it may not even be a very important quality in you, whereas you know all of the goodness about ourselves we tend to just take for granted. So it's not that we want to become egoic about our accomplishments, but we simply need to be realistic. And in that sense, it's very good to notice when you are able to do that which you have aspired to do, when it has become not an aspiration now but a fact. And that builds in us this confidence that, okay, so now I've discovered yet another fault in myself, but look, I've mastered all these others. I can master this one too. Because that positive expectation itself is an enormous tool for our eventual success. In fact, Yogananda actually said, if you know that a challenge is too big for you to face successfully, he said, run away from it and build yourself up, because you don't want to get the self-definition of a person who can't cope.
Yes, yes. And I think so many have said that it takes you out, you know, and then not only is a challenge as presented in a certain way, it can look, you can see so much more on the darker side of it and really not be able to get over that. It may take you a little longer. You know, in other words, you know, you could color that picture in with some different crayons and it could appear to be something that it might not really be, but it depends where you are at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Asha, could you, let's talk about for a second when we say the question of why is this happening to me? I'll tell you, you know, being in alternative health, I hear it quite often, you know. You will hear it at end of life quite often. You will hear it, kids graduating from college, you'll hear it. You'll hear it, people getting married or not, or you'll hear it when they turn 65. You'll hear it almost any time. And I think that's really, sometimes this question, we avoid it because we are afraid that it might have too much power over us. However, sometimes I think if we ask this question a little bit more, then we could maybe come up with some more answers and say, is this happening to me, or what would you say?
Well, what I love about that question is there's two ways to ask it. You can ask that question, why is this happening to me? Or you can ask the question, why is this happening to me?
Right.
And you'll get very, very different answers depending on how you tone that question. And so why is this happening to me becomes then a matter of self-observation. So what is the effect of this experience on me? That's what I usually say to people. Think less about what the experience is, you know, whether it's illness or disappointment or divorce or whatever. Less about what the experience is and more about what effect is this experience having on me? What is it revealing about myself and my unlearned lessons? You know, what opportunities is it giving me to become a better, more aware person? You know, sometimes something will happen, and at least in my own life, I will discover qualities that I thought I had purged, that yet if enough pressure is applied, I discover that, wow, at a deeper level, I'm still capable of anger, jealousy, you know, shame, embarrassment, make the list, you know, all the classic things that in my ordinary life, you know, on a fairly steady basis, they just don't come out. And so I get a false idea of my own freedom. But then when something unexpected and especially unexpectedly difficult happens, then suddenly something I didn't know was there is brought to the surface. When I faced I had a very difficult relationship with a friend for many years, and gradually I really thought I had mastered it. It was a long-standing karma between us, and I was so confident that when the opportunity came literally to live with this person for a little while, mm-hmm. I just accepted it with confidence. And in a matter of a day or two, I was right back in the throes of all the unpleasantness, and I was literally weeping. And I was, to Swami Kriyananda, I was so distressed by my own responses. And he said, well, mm-hmm. he said, you thought you were free, so you weren't putting out any energy to overcome these faults, and now you know, so you can get to work. You know, what is the cause for tragedy there? Very, mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't able to rise to it in the moment, but I never forgot it. You know, mm-hmm. now that I'm seeing where my limitations are, even if I don't like it, I can be very grateful for it. Oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, because I can become better than I was. And I, right. until this happened, I didn't even know that there was a need or a room to grow in this way. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not being glib about these, because those mm-hmm. revelations can be extremely challenging and very difficult. Right. And it's not just a question of, oh, now I've got that one. It's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of work that's going to have to go in here. And okay, I'll pull up my socks and I'll, you know, just mm-hmm. get started. But at least then you don't have to say, why is this happening to me? You say, right. I know why this is happening to me. Even if all the people around you are behaving terribly and they're absolutely at fault, still, if it teaches you something you need to know, that's why mm-hmm. it's happening to you.
And sometimes, you know, I've heard a lot of people that would say that, let's use family for an example. Sometimes they go back, you know, they visit once a year or twice a year, and they say, oh, my gosh, I wish I never did that. It was horrible, blah, blah, blah. But yet they turn that off, that television station off, and in their head, and then they do it the same thing again the following year and the following year and the following year. When really uh-huh. that's an example to say, is this working for me or is this not? Am I playing in the game? In other words, am I a participant in the game? Or is yes. this really their show on TV and I need to learn for myself that this potentially is not working for me and I need to disconnect? Or I need to understand, that too. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you see, again, this is the same question. It all depends on what is forward for you. What is the word is expansive? What expands your consciousness or what contracts it? Now, for one person, it may be that they really need to open their heart in compassion to these people and not be so judgmental or so insecure or whatever it might be. For another person, it might be expansive, might be to say, you know what? I do not need this, and therefore I'm walking away from it. Because that might be exactly what is expansive for them. For another who may have run away from every difficult situation in their life, they need to plant themselves and face it. So the question is, what is expansive, which makes us a bigger, more aware person? What is contractive that causes us to try to solve problems by making ourselves smaller and less open? And you have to decide in each one what is right for you. Sometimes people's real area is that they're afraid to stand up for themselves. And so expansive for them is to stand up for themselves. For others, it may be that all they do is stand up for themselves and never take into account anybody else's reality. And so that person needs to have more compassion and needs to face into unpleasant situations and learn to soften their heart with more understanding.
And Asha, don't you think too sometimes we will have these and they will happen and we don't want to say that we're going to lose part of our life and we feel it's a part we're losing. But then we say, mm-hmm. you know what? It's part of my life today. Sort of like when, you know, when you have to leave husbands or when you have to let your children go out on their own, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe your family, you have to let that go or a job. Mm-hmm. It's just, mm-hmm. it's okay for now. And to know that it's okay for now is so important.
It's exactly right. But, you know, the expanded contractive really helps because, for example, the reason you don't want to let go of your children, your husband, your job, whatever it might be, is that your entire sense of yourself is dependent on these circumstances. And what you need is to expand your sense of yourself so that you realize that you have many dimensions. And it's not that the family or whatever it is unimportant. It's just that you have made yourself bigger. And so it's not such a high proportion of your sense of self. And now it's time to grow. And that's, people don't always welcome it, but life is a constant experience of ever-expanding awareness. And if we don't embrace it, if we don't go and seek it out, it tends to find us and push us from behind.
You know, I had an experience when, you know, my kids had left and at varying different times, and then they, you know, you have that emotions. And it was kind of like, okay, it was the first time they left. So I was like, oh, good, you know. One at a time, and slowly they left. But then one at a time, they started coming back. And, you know, I loved having them come back because I've always felt that within me, my point to give to them, and I always would, was that no matter what their circumstances, I would always support them and I would always be there for them. In other words, I would be that other back that they could lean on. And I think that was my greatest gift to them in this life. Yet, when the last one had left again, this like second or third time, all of a sudden I realized, you know, this is now maybe 25 years later. And I said, you know, goodness, I said, my gosh, it's the first time. This is last month, the first time I've never had one of my kids in the house. And I went, oh, goodness, now what?
Yeah, now what?
But,
exactly.
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of had that feeling for a while, and then I said, okay, that's cool, and it went away. But there are so many women who have not had that because now they're losing husbands. You know, we're in the age group, you and I now, where husbands, you know, that they may have had for 20, 30, 40 years are now passing on. Women are living much older. And I'll tell you, I hear a lot of women say, but that was the love of my life. That was this. That was that. I can't go on. I don't know how to live. And really, that's putting them to their knees where some of the women have actually passed on within the year of their spouse, but some are still living miserably for 5 and 10 years later. Like, what do you say to those?
Well, you know, happiness is a choice. If, as Yogananda put it, if you resolve to be unhappy, nothing in the world can make you happy. If you resolve to be happy, nothing in the world can make you unhappy. You see, you have to back up and have a world view here. Is my happiness determined only and entirely by the circumstances of my life, or is it determined by the choices I make in how I relate to those circumstances? And not everybody in the world is really keen or capable of self-development. Their preference is to have things in order, and when that order changes, they may not be capable, they may not have the flexibility at that stage of their life to think in an entirely new way. And again, this is not simple. This is a huge challenge when life has been entirely defined in one way, and then it has to be defined in a new way, and there's been no training in the mental flexibility to do that, but the habit of just relaxing into circumstances. And so it's almost like you have to train for that much earlier. You have to practice recognizing that my happiness is a choice, and that I'm so grateful for these wonderful circumstances or for this great love that I've had. It certainly enriches my life. But it's possible to have a self-definition beyond it. And for many, many people, it's simply not possible. And death is a mercy at that point.
But then so, too, there's always people, too, that will say, you know, I don't know really what's going on in my life, and I don't know how to get started again. And I think that's really where a lot of people are.
Well, you have to take baby steps. You have to see, and it also, it all depends too on whether or not you believe that life has a purpose, whether or not you believe that there is a higher power guiding us, whether there's a loving God who always is looking out for us and has our best interests at heart. These are all serious questions. If you have no context, it's very hard to find strength. And so, again, these are issues that need to be explored before the crisis comes.
Right.
And then the only thing you can do is you have to take very, very small steps. You have to be very realistic. You know, affirmations don't serve at such a moment. You have to be extremely realistic. What can I do in this 15-minute cycle? And then start realizing that every action that I take is building for me a new future. So the longer I allow my despair to guide all my actions, the longer my despair will continue. So you need to grab, even if they're very tiny increments, you have to just grab a tiny increment. What in this vast universe gives me any joy at all?
Mm-hmm.
And of those choices, which ones do I have, you know, independent access to? You may say, well, if I could be with my grandchildren, but they live in another country, so that doesn't help us. You know, what that is actually accessible to me lifts my spirits. And then we just start taking those as much as we can and building a new reality. Even if we don't live long enough to completely shift our way of being, we can certainly make progress toward that. But is
now,
it easy? No.
But also, too, you know, some people will say that those events in our life, well, they ding your heart. They take a part out of your soul. Or, you know, all of these devastating events, now they've even got clinical studies that say, oh, well, that has changed your DNA, you know. And you go, okay, what of that now, you know. And I think, do they just smear mayonnaise on it and say all is good, you know, and keep going? Or, you know, some people are really getting into that conversation now.
Well, the conversation is, okay, given what's left, what can I do with what's left? You'd never say that you're not broken, because if you're broken, you're broken. That's why affirmation doesn't serve you. What you have to do is you have to adjust to reality. Well, okay, I've had a leg amputated, so therefore probably, you know, being a ski champion is not an option. But what can I do with one leg? You know, what's left? What's left and what's still working? And then you go around it. And you're always, then you're always a one-legged person or a whatever it might be. But that doesn't mean you can't become a beautiful one-legged person. But you'll never be able to stand and say, I have two legs again, because you don't. And so there's a kind of poignancy to it. And it doesn't mean that you come back to being the same person. You go forward as a new person, made the way you're now made.
So let's talk a little bit about something a little bit lighter. Let's talk about miracles, and I'll say lighter because miracles, really, you have to come to I think a miracle is best recognized or expressed because it's the complete opposite of where you are. Is that or is that not true?
Well, I think a miracle is where the cause and effect relationship is not discernible.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're really feeling happy all the time and everything, a miracle is close in that realm already. You know, but if you're really in a not so good place and something happens, then they call it miracles. It's sort of like, you know, I'm poor and I won the lottery, or I've got a lot of money and I won the lottery. How relevant is that?
Well, I think of it more, I think of it less, and I actually define it slightly differently. To me, it's not so much that a miracle is some great good thing that happened. It's more it's more that when there was an intervention that you yourself know that you didn't create or cause it. There's just an intervention there, that somehow something intervened. I collected stories and wrote a book, which you mentioned. It's called Loved and Protected: Stories of Miracles and Answered Prayers. And they vary. They vary from the man standing in the path of a speeding car about to be killed and then suddenly finding himself on the side of the road and the car just goes through thin air because he's not standing there anymore. There, you know, something intervened that was just completely outside of his understanding to a woman just on the beach making a big love note to God, as she called it, on the sand way above the tide line, and then just sort of, you know, calling out that I want to deliver this Valentine, and a rogue wave comes right up to the beach and goes, you know, 10 feet, 20 feet farther than the tide and just takes away what she's put in the sand. I mean, it's in one sense, it's nothing was at stake, but there was some intervention from a force that she'd had nothing to do with. And that's, and when you begin to think of your life in terms of that possibility, for one thing, but it doesn't happen always, but it happens more often than we realize once we start noticing a little more.
And I think noticing it is so vitally important. And even no matter what your definition of miracle is, you have to notice that something is different. I can remember Hurricane Katrina. Everybody in the house was asleep, you know, and the storm was going on outside. And I was sitting in the one chair in this one room, and something tipped me off the chair. I mean, I literally got tipped off the chair. The chair shifted and it almost tipped over, but I got tipped off of it first. And then I stood up and I put my hand on the front door of the apartment, and I could feel the power of that storm. And I mean, it was incredible. I almost felt like I'm sleepwalking when I'm describing it. I put my hands on there, and for some reason, I put my hand down, and I was going to open that door. If I had opened that door, everybody in the apartment and in the building would have been killed. It was that much of a force. And for some reason, I put my hand on there, and then I took my hand. I heard a growling sound, and I moved my hand away. Mm. Now, it has to be a miracle that I didn't open that door, you know?
No, there was an intervention. Exactly right. There was an intervention from some other reality that said, this is not the right thing. Don't do it. Exactly right.
Right. And for something brought me to it in the first place, not knowing what it was, but something stopped me from it also. You know, so are there equal and opposing forces in that universe at play there? Because why would I even go to the door in the first place?
Well, there are two forces.
Like,
I know what you mean. There's a force that draws us to the light, and there's a force that causes us, that pulls us away from the light. I mean, you can call it satanic if you want, but it's a force that, I mean, we experience it every day in our lives. We're always a conflict of energies, aren't we? The part of us that wants to be forgiving and magnanimous, and the part that wants to, you hurt me and I'm going to hurt you back. And one of them moves us toward the light and one of them moves us away from the light. And those forces exist all the way through, you know. They manifest through us because they exist in the universe, and then they personify themselves as devils and angels, of dark beings and light beings. That, and dark beings are there creating havoc. They're, you know, you know dark people who, unfortunately, we've all met them, who find their satisfaction in creating pain and chaos. And that's their perception of where their suffering or their happiness comes from. It's completely misguided, but that's the truth of it. And again, that just exists on a more and more subtle level. Just as you can be, you know, elegantly, angelically good, you can also be astonishingly evil.
And do you think everybody has a little bit of both forces within them? Is that what gives us balance? Well, not really balance, but is that what just gives us, we all might still have some of that. It's just, you know, it may fluctuate and flow, as you've said, with your spiral staircase and those karmic lines.
Yeah, it's more that the unlearned lesson, the fundamental unlearned lesson, is that everything we seek we will find when we turn toward the divine light. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that, so we imagine that something that we want will be found when we make more important our self and our own desires, I mean our limited self and our limited desires, power over other people. I mean, mm-hmm. some people feel that great happiness comes from having power over other people. And then you begin to refine and you begin to understand that, you know, I need to unify my consciousness with other people. I need to cooperate and uplift. But we learn it slowly. So, yes, everyone has what I call it is the two directions of your energy. And the energy that goes expansively toward the light and the energy that misguided believes that my happiness will come from contracting into the part of me that wants to be separate and have its own way. Separate myself from reality and have power over reality in my way. So yes, it's in all of us. And that's the unlearned lesson. It takes endless forms, and that's where I say expansive versus contractive. Contractive is when we make ourselves smaller than we are in truth. And you can be a very powerful figure like Stalin or Hitler and still be smaller than you are in truth, because in truth you are one with all of creation and all beings, and when you hurt someone else, you are actually hurting yourself. So you're making yourself smaller than you are, but you can still be powerful. You're just still limited and moving in the wrong direction. It's very important to realize that both of these forces exist within us, because you see, great effort is required to choose the light. We cannot just sort of float casually into right action and right living. We have to consciously decide and then apply ourselves profoundly to achieving that.
And many people become numb to it. You know, sometimes
I'm sure
many people have this same comment that I'm going to say, is that we are having all of these challenges in our lives, and we look at other people and we go, gosh, they're just going through it like life on candy cotton and cupcakes, you know. They've never had any issues. Everything comes to them. Everything is hunky-dory. And some people will say, oh, my gosh, I mean, I don't want to compare myself, but gosh, God, you know, it's about the end of the rope, you know. What do I do? You know, I've been asking for help. And like it says on the back of your book, it says, if we ask God for help, will he respond? A lot of people are saying, my gosh, I feel I do, or I am, or I, you know, conceptually am being what I believe a good person is. And it's just like one wave after another. And some people sit down and say, look at that, you know, gosh, you know, how much more?
You see, it all comes back to what is considered, is it a gift from God to never be challenged? Is it a gift for God, from God, for everything to come easy? Or is the gift the opportunity to constantly face and expand? So we have this idea of bad and good, that God loves me if he doesn't give me any difficulties.
Right.
And God doesn't love me if he does. But if you're in school and the teacher never challenges you, is that a good teacher? Are you a lucky student because the teacher never asks you to do anything? So what is life? Is pleasure and ease the definition of a good life? Or is expansive and deeper understanding, greater compassion, humility, and awareness of higher realities, is that a good life? And very often, we will not expand until we are absolutely pressed to the wall. It's just the way we're made. But the other thing I have to add is that karma and the concept of reincarnation helps. Because if you see somebody whose life is working very well now, you can't see how many incarnations of effort went to create this interlude of ease. You just don't know. Plus, of course, you can't tell from the outside what someone's inner life is like.
Absolutely. And you know what? They might just be, as you said in the beginning of the conversation, beyond that spiral case, and they could be in that gap where there is no lines. You know? And give it a decade or so, you know. They might not have, you might not even recognize them for how far their life has changed from when you may have thought or known that.
And your own in the same way. It's a long story. It's a very long story. You cannot open a big book and read three pages and feel that you know where the plot is coming from or where the plot is going. You just know what's going on right this minute, but you can see all those pages in front and behind, and you realize, oh, this is a much bigger story.
So now there's a lot of people that are having this conversation. They're all now on the quest for what is my purpose on earth? What is my job to be doing here? And then they think they find something and they start doing it and they're like, that's not it. That's not it. And they just keep going around the circle. And some people are saying, oh, well, you'll just always keep going around in circles. And you need to sit down and you need to listen. Well, is that really it?
See, it depends again. Our, everybody's life purpose is the same. It is to become pure love, pure kindness, pure compassion, to be able to put aside one's own concerns. And I don't mean in a suppressive way, but in a genuinely transcendent way, where that, you know, what I can give and how I can help is really who I am. Not that I'm just doing this because it's the right, you know, it makes me look better.
Right.
But it's really your nature. And so that's everybody's purpose. The reason we have so much trouble is that we imagine it's so specific. Am I supposed to be an editor of children's books? Or am I supposed to be an editor of adult books? Am I supposed to be healing through crystals? Am I supposed to be healing by going to medical school? The fact of the matter is, and one of the reasons we don't get answers is that if you ask God a question for which he has no answer, you will not get an answer. And so if you ask, should I move here or live there? Should I do this or do that? God doesn't really care. If you ask, how can I serve? How can I love? Help me to love more deeply. Help me to feel your presence within me so that I can be an instrument of divine consciousness. Those are questions for which God has an answer. You see, I found that when I can't get an answer to a question, a prayer question, it's almost always because I'm asking the wrong question. For example, I was in a situation, this was many years ago in my life, where I had to make a decision, and it was just either this or that. There was no gray area. I had to do either this or that. And I kept praying and praying, God, why don't you tell me what to do? And I could never get an answer. I finally went to Swami Kriyananda and said, you know, Swami, I can't tell what to do. And I said, it's so hard to know what God wants. Swami answered me very casually. He said, no, it's not. Now, at first I heard that he was saying it wasn't hard for him to know. But when I reflected on it, he really told me that it wasn't hard to know. So when I was meditating right after that, I said in my conversation with God, well, it's really hard for me to know. So I asked a different question. Why am I having so much trouble knowing what to do? Immediately I had the answer, because you are afraid of the answer. And I said, that was true. And then I said, why am I afraid? So I started asking questions, and all of a sudden I got lots of answers to those questions. What are you afraid of? You know, in that case, I was afraid of loneliness, I was afraid of failure, lots of things. And then it was obvious that the answer was right there. I just didn't want to know because I was afraid. So almost always when I don't know an answer for me, everybody has different ways, it's because I'm afraid of something. So instead of repeating the question, I say, help me to understand what I'm afraid of. Help me to overcome that fear. Oh, my. Then it gets very interesting.
I think sometimes when people have very challenging health conditions when they come, and they would say, I want you to fix me, and you know that there's a limited time, and you say, well, what really is it that's hurting you, or what's really bothering you, or what's really your going on? And if you can get to the fear, or if you can keep pushing and keep going, in almost any instance, you will come to that which I think we would say that turns the emotion valve in your body. In other words, you will either get angry, or you will begin to have tears, or you will begin to feel hot, or you will begin to feel anxious. Once you start getting into that emotion factory, then you know you're getting someplace, because then the words will start coming out and you will not recognize them. So in other words, that which runs your motor, you know, it will eventually show up.
That's very good. I'm sure that's completely true. Yes,
and you know, I always say to people is that that which you wish to be healed, you've left at home. You did not come to me for a healing. You did not come to me for health. You came for me. You came to me so that I would fix this disease name, so take it off your chart, or because this drug has got a hold on you, or because you are living in this limited time and you want me to stop the clock. And really, that's what people are looking for. They aren't, they bring that there, but that's not really what would heal their heart or their soul or their spirit. I can remember speaking with one woman one time, and when we really got to the core of it was that she said her heart was broken. And when she recognized that, then that was her core to work on, and she'll work on that in her next lifetime. But it wasn't about all of the other drama and the dogma that was going on concerning that. That was that was it. Her heart was broken, and that was it.
That's the two ways of asking the question. Why is this happening to me, and why is this happening to me?
Right.
And then when you get to the core of it, that's exactly right. Then you begin to fulfill the purpose for which you were born, which is to face these challenges and to become expansive in the face of them. Yeah,
and
excellent.
Don't you think also, Tushu, those are sometimes we get to those and it may be that last time on our deathbed, or it may be at that last moment or whatever, and just to say that's okay, that you can live it and you can challenge it again. You've recognized it. Now maybe you'll come in the next time with it recognized, and then you can work through that more. In other words, people think that they have to get all of the answers and they have to do all of these things. You know, now that there's movies out on it and everything, you have to love, be loved, blah, blah. And they have these checklists that they have to do before they die. And when someone puts that label of, you know, your time is limited, they're like, I got to hurry up and do those checklists. And it's kind of crazy.
Well, I love reincarnation. I find reincarnation very relaxing because it makes you realistic. People will say to me, I want to finish this karma. I said, I don't think you have the power to finish this karma. Let's progress this karma.
Yeah.
You know, but reincarnation has a dual effect. One is it relaxes me and realizes that I can only do what I can do, and what is left undone, I will be given every opportunity to finish. It also has the reverse effect, which is I'm going to have to face this sooner or later, so why not now? Because once you think in terms of reincarnation, there's no escape. What I don't understand, what I haven't resolved, I will have to face it. And when I face it, it will be now. I can imagine it's in the future, but when it happens, it'll be now, because the now I'm experiencing now used to be the future.
Right.
And, if I don't like it now, I'm not going to like it in the future now either. So let's just get on with it.
And do you think sometimes, you know, when you're ready to do that, you may not be equipped enough? Or let's say, in other words, if there's, do you have to love yourself first? But let's say a lot of, it's kind of like a linear thing. I'm thinking of it as 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And they say, oh, no, I'm going to take care of 4 right now because it's like growing over my face like crazy. But sometimes in this lifetime, you may not have kind of gotten the parts of 1, 2, and 3 that you really kind of need to be able to answer that part to 4.
Yes, exactly true. And that's the why is this happening to me? And it's a very, the why is this happening to me is a very slow and thoughtful question. And sometimes one just simply picks things up where you can, and it's better to be in motion. It's better to have some effort and some energy flowing, because energy has its own intelligence, is the way we always put it, meaning that if energy is moving and you're doing something, then that energy will begin to enlighten you because it's flowing. It's better to do something rather than nothing. Even if that's not the most efficient or even the most important, because once energy starts flowing, then other doors will be opened. And so, oftentimes we're just shooting in the dark, but at least we're moving, and that's more important.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you can turn on that emotion factory all the time when you get to these points, it's don't try to regulate what comes out. Just let it sort of like flow. Like I said, a lot of times you don't know what will show up. you know,
right.
And it may be totally not on the plane. And sometimes when people have loss, or they're saying, you know, well, you know, God isn't helping me right now, or I don't understand it. Hey, I've even said it. I'm sure it kicked my butt.
Yeah.
I've even said that, hey, I think all my angels are on sabbatical because I haven't heard a sound for years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, and I think so to be able to turn that on, that valve on, and
sure.
let it. I mean, when you see people crying, I would say, oh, gosh, that is, you're having the greatest day of your life. Where when they're there, they're mad and they're furious. I'll say, oh, hallelujah, finally, you know. And they're like, are you crazy? I'll say, no, that means that you've cracked something, you know. Something has flowed. Let it go.
Right.
And if you have to, I've told women before, if you're mad at something, or you're mad at a circumstance, or someone passed away and you're really mad at the universe, lay down on the floor every single day for an hour and kick and scream. You know, hey, mm-hmm. by the end of 6 months, you ought to be real tired of that, and you can get on with something
mm-hmm.
else. Some people, mm-hmm. they can do it for a week and they're tired of it. I've had some women mm-hmm. that have done it for a year or two. But it was what they had to do. In other words, that valve had been pent up for so long, they just had to release all that energy to clear the slate, you know.
And if they could just release the energy. It's an expansive thing for them to be in touch with what they really feel.
Right.
And even though, you know, those emotions themselves may not appear to be a positive thing, internally, if they are releasing them rather than suppressing them, that is an expansive gesture for them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, because, I mean, sometimes when someone passes on and they say, I'm really angry, you left me, then finally they come out with, I feel alone, or I feel scared, or I wish I could go too, you know? So in other words, the verbiage changes and those things start to take on a mind of their own. And I really think that's what we've said about this whole hour is, you know, why is this happening to me? Who knows?
Yeah.
Lay down on the floor, kick and scream, and ask why it's happening to you. You know,
eventually
the language will change and eventually you will get there. And you know what?
Good.
If you do this this month, this year, next year, 10 years, so be it. You know, time, I don't know about time for you, but I have not even noticed time recently. I was reading an email the other day and it said January 7th. And I said, oh, my gosh, why is this thing still in here? That was last year. And it was really only like a week ago. So, and I had don't phase time. So it's like, just don't let time not phase. Don't worry about time so much. And don't go run into your doctor for dementia drugs either. Just don't even worry about it, you know. Let it phase. And I think that's so important, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And not have such a hold. And I think, you know, let go and see where it takes you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Asha, this has been a great hour. We didn't even stop for a breath, but
no, we didn't.
I think it's such a wonderful time to have you because, you know, a lot of people do ask these questions, you know, and they read books and they hear things and other people are saying things. And sometimes some people will make the comment, oh, they always have such good words on it. And that's why I always like to on the show give my spiel on it because, you know, I might be giving a different way I see it or I went through it or I did it. And granted, the show's not always about me, but it's about my experience. Perhaps maybe you can relate to some of that. And the same thing with you. You know, we've had these experiences. It's been a rocky road. I don't know about you, but I really think I landed on the Mars. You know, I've got so many pit holes, you know. But, but I, you know, I'm still here. You know, I didn't open that door for Katrina. So, you know, that was a miracle in itself.
Yeah, that's a miracle. Excellent.
Well, Asha, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to share with the listeners more information about you and your website and how they could find out more about your books and things? That would be great.
The best way to do it is I have the website is called Asha Joy, A-S-H-A, ashajoy.com or .org. And if you go there, it has everything, has a YouTube channel, classes, books, everything that I have done and do is all through that website, just Asha Joy, and you'll find it all.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us, Asha. Perhaps maybe after Easter, maybe you could visit us again. That would be wonderful. We'd love having you.
Anytime. Just let me know when you'd like it, and I'll be happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much, Asha.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Asha, her website is on the bottom of today's show page. Please do check it out. And again, the books we were talking about today are Loved and Protected, Stories of Miracles and Answered Prayers, and also Ask Asha, Heartfelt Answers to Everyday Dilemmas on the Spiritual Path. And I will highly recommend both of these books. If anyone is having a challenge, these are books that you just set down on the counter and someone would say, oh, what is that? You know, flip it open, wherever you flip it open. You know, I will really think that that would be something that you would need to know just for you, because there's a lot of topics in here that we're really talking about, you know, about is it really easy? Is life this easy? And why is my life so hard? And I'm having so many issues, you know, like in the book Ask Asha, it is topics like my job. You know, my partner cheated on me. People are taking advantage of me. My husband, you know, he's not my soulmate. What do I do now, you know? Sometimes I meditate and I'm really scared. Or there's a lot of these questions in here we say about life, you know. Even right down to how does a soul evolution begin, you know? Or how about, you know, my elderly mother is bitter and unhappy. Welcome to my world, you know? So there's a lot of stories in here that you can find, and you can, where Asha has really given her heartfelt answers to. I highly encourage you to be able to purchase these books. Please do check out her website. Again, it's ashajoy.org. And really check them out and share them with other people. Even if you just have it in your purse, I'm sure somebody will come along and they'll say, what is that? They'll say, oh, just my little inspiration for today. Please do check out Asha. It is a great time, and we hope to have her on again in the future. This is Dr. Jeanette, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.